Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to listen to the Roman Show. The most informative show in mixed martial arts and pro wrestling on the net. Award-winning journalist Rodolfo Roman tackles and gets down to the nitty-gritty of the sport with exclusive interviews. Sit back, relax, stay up to date. Let the Roman Show inform you. Call in live to participate. 714-868-0222. Let the Roman Show begin.
Hey, this is Jacob Stitch Duran here. And if you guys really want to listen to the good talk, listen to the Roman Show.
For Florida MMA news and events, there's only one place to get your info from: MMAtothemax.net. From where to see the big fight to where's the next major event can all be found on the Sunshine State's number one source for MMA and grappling events, MMAtothemax.net. Don't click anywhere else and pump up the volume. You're listening to The Roman Show.
Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Thanks.
Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolfoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to RomanDH@Yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, RomanDH@Yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at RomanDH@Yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show.
Visit El Octagono for all the latest in MMA, news, fight results, interviews, live event coverage, podcasts, and video capsules. All this and much more in Spanish. Find all your MMA needs here inside El Octagono, the number one source dedicated 100% to MMA in Spanish. ElOctagono.com.
To the sounds of sirens, we open up this program of the Roman Show tonight. And there's a reason, Randall, we have sirens. It's because, you know, I'm transmitting live from a Dunkin' Donuts, enjoying a nice culotta. And it's hot outside, Randall.
Are you getting paid? Are you getting paid for saying that?
I should, right? At least a free culotta. At least a free culotta. I know you got some Cuban coffee there you put up there on your Facebook page. And I'm sure you're enjoying that stuff. You can never go wrong with Cuban coffee, but I'm going to have to go ahead and enjoy some of this culotta stuff here at the, what I prefer to call it, Double D's. See, I'm actually located near the University of Miami at Dunkin' Donuts, Randall. A lot of folks out here in this university like MMA, as it has hosted at the Bank United Center several mixed martial arts promotions. I have held several shows there, Randall.
Plenty, definitely.
One of them being, obviously, CFA. Past shows have included W1, G-Force, and many names have competed inside that arena. Well, Randall, tonight we have a great show, a nice lineup for you. We're going to start off first with Julia Budd. She will be here in the program. She will be competing July 28th, that's this Friday, guys, for Invicta FC. And you can actually see the entire Invicta FC show live on the internet. All you got to do is visit InvictaFC.com. If you're listening in Kansas City, well, you can head on over to the Memorial Hall and enjoy the show there. For ticket information, you can visit InvictaFC.com. We got Baszler versus McMahon, Davis versus Akano. In fact, we have Baszler and Davis here on the program. The faster shows, actually. So check them out. Invicta FC, we're going to have in just a few seconds Julia Budd here on the program. And later on, we're going to have Phil DeRue, who will be competing this weekend, and also Rock Georges. He will be competing in Alabama. DeRue will be competing in Tampa. So they'll talk about their experiences in this sport and what we can expect from them this weekend in their fights. Randall, are we ready for this great show to get started? We got lots to talk about with MMA news.
Yeah, man, a lot of things going on and a lot of disappointment as well. But, yeah. You know, a lot of interesting topics.
Guys, make sure you follow the action on Twitter, @RomanDH, #RomanShow. Follow Randall, @MrRandallB. Are you good at Twitter? Do you tweet a lot?
I mean, I frequent it as much as I frequent Facebook, I guess. And, I mean, I'm not, it's like, you know, like Hollywood superstar active on it that they tweet every 10 seconds. But,
yeah, you trying to see something there?
Look, I'm not a Roman superstar, so...
Well, I mean, I did appear to Travel Channel on Monday. I mean, they're calling me to prime time. You can cut me some slack, at least for the week.
Thank you for throwing that in my face. Now, no, but I mean, I remain as active as I can. I mean, I'm always putting out things about the Marlins or the Heat or anything like that. I'm always tweeting out, so I have fun with it.
Don't even talk about the Marlins. So disappointed. So disappointed. They traded out Hanley Ramirez. And then we got, well, a bunch of, I don't even know, some pitchers there. And I'm hoping that they're doing this to save some cash and hopefully get a bigger name during the off season, because I don't see this season going anywhere.
Well, I mean, possibly reinvesting in some talent. And also I'm hoping they probably aim at maybe an extension for Stanton, because he's been probably the only prime player we've had.
Pretty much. He's been the only the golden ace. Oh,
yeah, the only one that's really lived up to the contract. The only one that's lived up to the contract.
That's it, because Reyes hasn't stepped up, and obviously Ramirez, well, he wasn't doing anything at all. And Bonifacio now, he came out of the injury list, and he's doing all right. But it's so disappointing. I was so looking forward to the whole new stadium and all of that stuff, and went to a bunch of games. They started out all right in, I believe it was in June, that they had or May. I think it was in May. They had a great month.
May was a great month. Yeah, May was a great month.
And that was it. That's all we had. And I was hoping, I was willing to celebrate the whole finals and then the World Series championship, but that I don't think that's going to happen. Guys, make sure that you listen to this show. If you happen to have to do something else and you can't catch it, remaining of it, you can visit RodolphRoman.com and you can listen to the complete show. I just want to mention that next week we have Misha Tate on the program. And followed by Wagner Osha, Randall. Wagner Osha will be on the program following Misha Tate. That's on August the 14th, if I'm correct. What is it, August 14th? You can check that out, Wagner Osha and Misha Tate coming to the Roman Show. But right now on the line, we have Julia Budd, the beautiful and talented fighter and fitness model. How are you, Julia?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Welcome to the Roman Show. You're here on with Rodolph Roman and Randall. You got a great fight coming up this Friday, July 28th, Kansas City, Memorial Hall. What can we expect from you, Julie? I know your last fight, we saw that video. Randall Rossi broke your arm. I remember I was actually betting on a trip, and I saw that video like, oh, my God. How have you overcome that?
I actually overcame it pretty easily. It was good. It was good. I've been training hard since March, so everything healed up properly, and yeah, I'm strong.
You have to be. Now, did you get a chance to see that video with your coaches, and what was your first take on that when you saw that?
Well, it actually got dislocated, and then it just got popped right back in. So, you know, it was it wasn't exactly the outcome that I wanted, but like it happened. So, you know, this is, you know, anything can happen in there, and yeah, I've just worked on my game overall, and I'm improved, so it's good.
And when that happened, after to Ron, I mean, did you say anything, or just respect? You understood why she did it?
No, it's part of the game. I mean, that can happen, right? So I was going in there to knock her out, and she went in there and submitted me. So, I mean, that happened.
Okay. Well, Julia, you're going to fight Alina Nielsen on July 28th in Kansas City. How are you preparing for this fight to improve your record now with the victory? It'll get you to 3-2.
Yeah, I'm super prepared. I'm really amped because we're both Muay Thai fighters, and I think it's going to be a great show, and I'm going in there to, you know, be exciting and have an awesome performance. So I can't wait.
Julia, all the way from Canada, you can check her out. Invicta FC, July 28th, and you can actually see the entire show on InvictaFC.com. Randy, I have a question for Julia.
Yeah. Mentioning that both of you guys are Muay Thai style fighters, where do you see your advantages in that kind of a matchup?
I think my striking is an advantage, and I also think just overall I'm a, you know, complete mixed martial artist. So I'm comfortable wrestling, I'm comfortable standing, I'm comfortable boxing, so I'm just excited to see where it goes.
And a question I like asking all the fighters you've had that are a part of Invicta or fighting on the Invicta card is, how comfortable do you feel with a promotion like Invicta? I mean, how happy are you with a promotion that's putting on such great cards, and they're all women's MMA fighters? It's actually surprising the appreciation that it's getting in the MMA community. How what's your reaction to the promotion itself?
It's been, you know, it's an awesome experience. It's so cool that they're focused solely on the women and everything. They're top notch. They're super professional. It's been great ever since I got here. So I'm excited. I love their first show, and I knew I wanted to be a part of it. So I'm happy I am.
And this is going to be your first time fighting for Invicta. In the past, you fought for Strikeforce. What are the differences that you noticed between both promotions?
You know, to be honest, they're both, like, obviously they're both professional, but they're, this one feels a little bit more, they give you a little bit more preparation. So I got here a day earlier. It's nice. I've got all my stuff organized, and I feel ready to go on Saturday. I'm happy fighting for either organization. Strikeforce is top-notch as well, so I've been blessed to be in two really high-quality organizations.
Julia, and you are a model. You also did some stunts and commercials and then acting. Tell us a little bit about yourself for all the folks out there listening right now to know a little bit about yourself aside from just being a fighter.
So, you know, I've been focused pretty much just on fighting for the last couple of years. But other than that, I train. I mean, I'm a personal trainer. I'm a nutritionist. And, you know, I've done some fitness modeling and everything, but since I started MMA, I've just been focused 100% on this. So,
when you were training, were you modeling too?
Yeah.
Or before you got into MMA, really? How the heck did that work?
Well, it's fitness modeling, so you know you got to be in shape, and it's good. Like, companies asked me to model their sportswear, and I was always in shape from fighting, so it was perfect.
Wow, absolutely. That's just something amazing how you're able to basically be a fighter and hold all these other jobs. That's just amazing. Randy, you have a question for Julia?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Going into the detail when it comes down to the modeling, what are your thoughts on Ronda Rousey's recent cover spread on ESPN and what that means for women in MMA itself?
I think that it was a good piece, and She looked great in it. And I think that it's nice that they're putting, you know, us women, mixed martial artists, in big magazines like that. But it's cool. It's gaining popularity.
Definitely, definitely.
And I don't know if you've caught up with some of the stuff that's going on social media, and I'm sure Randall knows about it, but Misha Tate and Ronda Rousey, they've been going at it on the internet. Misha pretty much attacking Ronda with some of the words that she has said in the past. But do you think this is good for the women's MMA? It kind of puts it out there on the map since this happens with the boys as well?
Yeah, and I think that it's good. You need different characters in it, and I think that she's drawing attention to the sport. So, you know, I think it's good. I think Misha's good for the sport too. So,
and what do you see women's MMA? Because I've had most of the and Invicta FC ladies out here, and I must say that you girls are very popular. What do you see women's MMA in a couple of years? Do you think? I know, for example. There have been talk with Dana White, and he said, you know, don't count it. At one point, he was really against it, but now it seems like he's having a different opinion on it. But what is your take on the future of women's MMA?
I think we can only go up from here. It's getting more popular, and the girls, we put on super exciting shows. So we draw in a lot of fans as well, and you know, women want to see women warriors, really. So I think that it can only go up. It can only get more popular. I definitely can picture it in the UFC now.
And what do you think are some of the hardships that a girl that's trying to get into MMA deals with compared to the men?
I think that it's the same. Like, you know, I think that we just got to be, you know, just as professional and take it just as seriously. And now you're getting high quality athletes from all over coming over into MMA for women. So, you know, it's getting more and more, like, it's like the guys now, in my opinion. We're just as skilled now, so it's exciting.
That is awesome. Well, Randy, I have a question for Julia.
Yeah, another thing I wanted to ask was, I mean, you mentioning other athletes coming into the sport. I mean, we've seen former football players coming into the sport. We've even seen former pro wrestlers from WWE coming into the sport. But you yourself, I mean, even from your youth as a kid, reading your bio on your website, seeing that you've actually participated in other sports prior to getting into the martial arts, how much did being athletic in other sports help you involve as an athlete when it came down to MMA?
I think that it helps for sure. I was always an athlete, so, you know, I just found my niche in fighting. When I was 15, I started kickboxing, and then it just went from there. So I think that having that athletic background definitely helps.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, one thing for me personally, when I trained for a while being that I played soccer in my youth, it turned out that helped a lot for my kicks and my high kicks, because I was actually able to throw my kick with other people who hadn't played something like soccer before. So I just wanted
for
to see
sure.
What you would respond to that.
For sure, right? And you got the power there and everything, so it helped.
Yeah.
And Julia, all the way from Canada, and Canada, obviously hockey's one of the biggest sports out there in Canada. And today, I'm not sure if you caught this, any of you guys, there was a statement by the LA Kings. Recently won the Stanley Cup. There was a Stanley Cup this year. And they said that there's only one cup and it belongs to a real sport. But they were kind of elbowing MMA, saying, calling it not a real sport. You being Canadian, you being that you live in this country that loves hockey, what would you have to say about this?
Well, I personally don't love hockey that much. I mean, it's popular, but I don't watch it or anything. So, how are we not a real sport? You know, we go there, we compete against each other at the highest level. So, I don't know. They're trying to adapt fighting. I don't even want to answer that. I can't say
yeah,
hockey.
the tweet actually was from the LA Kings, and it said NHL team. At UFC, sorry, the cup is only for those who play a real sport. Just sometimes, I guess, they just kind of get some publicity or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
Julia, do you have a Twitter account or a website that folks can follow you as far as your future events and what you're doing and keeping up with you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Julia Budd, And my Facebook's Julia Budd as well. So either one.
There you go. And Julia, again, folks, make sure you tune in July 28th and InvictaFC.com if you are not in Kansas. And you can check out Julia and all the rest of the ladies on Invicta FC. It's a great show. Don't miss it. You like to say anything else, Julia, to your opponent before we let you go?
No, I want to just thank my team, Gibson MMA, back in Port Moody, and Invicta FC for having us all come down.
Awesome. Julia, thank you so very much. And anytime you'd like to be on the show, just let us know.
Thank you.
All right, and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Rando, great stuff there from Julia Budd. Very beautiful and very talented. Julia Budd will be competing July 28th at Invicta FC in Kansas City. You can get your tickets by visiting InvictaFC.com. The event will take place at Memorial Hall, Kansas City. Rando,
if she's a nutritionist, I think I'm going to have to go visit her because the abs that she has is incredible.
That's the only thing you took notice of, the abs.
She has incredible abs. What do you want me to say? She has incredible abs.
I don't think I check out girls' abs.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody go to juliabud.ca, juliabud.ca, and you can see right there the picture comes up with her abs, and it's an incredible abdomen area that she has. Just pointing that out. I did want to point out, you mentioning the LA Kings tweet. They did delete the tweet afterwards, you know.
Did they?
They deleted the tweet and they, in a way, kind of apologized and said that maybe they're just parading too much. You know, like.
Yeah, I wonder what was the whole motivation behind that tweet?
I don't know. I really don't get that, especially because in LA they hold a lot of events in the area. I mean, California is one of the primary homes for Strikeforce. You know,
and it's the home of the UFC and Fox.
And I really don't get them saying that it's not a real sport. It's almost like also saying boxing is not a real sport.
Right.
You know, because anything that's combat wouldn't be a real sport. I mean, this is a combative sport, regardless of how you look at it. I mean, just because they break out into fights every now and then doesn't mean that these guys fighting in a cage isn't a real fight, isn't a real sport.
Yeah, I'd love to. If any hockey players out there want to call in or say something, I'd love to have you here. What is your take? The LA Kings team is saying that MMA is not a real sport. You know, sure, fine. You guys throw the gloves down and start fighting in the cage and the hockey rink, fine. I mean, that's hardcore. That's awesome. Personally, that's why I love watching hockey for the fights. But, I mean, that's a slap to the face of the sport. Heck, I'm sure that a lot of these hockey players, rather, and I don't know if you can vouch for me here, but I'm sure most of these guys have taken into consideration some of the training that MMA or mixed martial artists do before a fight. And I'm sure that they have incorporated that stuff into their daily workouts. So I'm sure that they have some sort of MMA in them, in hockey. But to come out and say such a thing, it just makes no sense to me.
No, there's a lot of athletes using it. I mean, we ourselves down here in Miami, Dwayne Wade is, you know, during his conditioning, did a lot of MMA kind of conditioning workout. He trained with somebody who does jiu-jitsu and MMA. And Mike Miller is another one. He actually puts money into an MMA gym. I forget the location. It's like either in Illinois or in Ohio or something like that. But he funds a gym of MMA. So, mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of athletes outside of MMA that really partake a lot in it. So it would be really surprising for me that, I mean, maybe just whoever got behind the Twitter handle just decided to say that, and it's not really the opinion of the entire team. You know, so that'd be the interesting thing to see if this is the take that the entire team has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd love to hear from that because that just totally made no sense to me.
What I do love is that the UFC tweeted back to them and
said,
at LA Kings, we got a VIP ticket with Lord Stanley's name on it for hashtag UFC on Fox at Staples.
There it is.
So.
In fact, I'm looking at it right now. It says, at LA Kings, our checking line, your checking line. And if you can go on right now It was actually posted. It was posted 55 minutes ago. It says, "At LA King, our checking line," and then your checking line, and it has a picture of all the UFC champions. Basically saying, "Hey, you know, you want to go at it? Let's go. Look at my champs, and look at your. Let's take a look at your champs." So the UFC is going at it. I mean, they're fighting back. And then you see the picture there with GSP and Anderson Silva and the rest of the crew, all the champs, right there lined up. Pretty interesting stuff. Also want to mention, Rando, that it's official now. UFC 153, Vitor Belfort versus Alan Belcher. And that is an awesome fight. And we're working on getting Belcher here soon on the program, so expect him shortly next month. And we're going to talk to him to see what he has to say fighting Vitor Belfort in Brazil.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. I mean, Belcher's been looking great, and Belfort, you know, he's looking to maintain a comeback and get another title shot at some point because he felt like, you know, the Anderson front kick was a lucky kick. So, I mean, obviously he wants his opportunity again, but he does need to pick up some meaningful victories, and a Belcher victory would probably be one of those that would put him right back in the mix.
Right. You could probably say that he could, with a victory, could possibly earn him a shot.
And the same thing goes for Belcher, too, because Belcher's been looking great, and for him as well, it would put him very high in the mix if he could defeat somebody like Vitor Belfort. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's off four consecutive victories. That's including Josemir Palahares, the ankle assassin, Jason McDonald, Patrick Cote, and Wilson Gouveia themselves, like just back-to-back four wins. And, you know, it'd be great to see if a victory against somebody like Vitor Belfort would put him right at the top of the line.
Yeah. No. It's going to be a great fight. They're stating here, rest in peace, former UFC fighter Sherman Pendergast. He passed away, so our condolences to the family there. Former UFC fighter Sherman Pendergast. They just posted that right now as we speak. And I believe this was the gentleman. You can correct me if I'm wrong. The gentleman there was a fighter who died last week. Passed away from cancer. And it's because I went random. So a couple of guys there that are passing away, so God bless them both. Hey, Randall, so in just a few minutes, we're going to have Phil DeRue and Rock Georges here in the program. And, of course, we'll talk a little more of the stuff happening as far as the MMA world. I'd like to point out that August 4th will be UFC on Fox 4, Shogun versus Vera. Our boy Hector Lombard was actually supposed to be in this card, but then they moved him and they put him in last week's UFC pay-per-view. And Randall, we were talking about this earlier.
Uh-huh.
Looking at that fight, Hector had it fine. It wasn't the best debut for him. People are already talking that Hector was all hyped, that Hector had the jitters, that Hector should move down in weight class. You know how people are. They always exaggerate. But
even Dana was the one who actually originated the going to the 170statement. But I don't believe that would be necessary. I mean, this is a guy that dominated the middleweight division through his whole career practically outside of the UFC. This guy dominated the 185ers. Just because he has one bad fight doesn't mean immediately knock him down to another weight class.
Mm-hmm. And which he won. I do honestly believe he won.
Yeah, I agreed with you. I mean, he did the more effective damage. He had that liver kick that dropped Boch, and he was able to ground and pound a little bit. Boch was able to escape and survive the moment, as well as a couple of takedowns he had, including something that I'm sure you yourself enjoyed, which is a belly-to-belly suplex. And this is something,
I love that
one. Pro wrestling fans would enjoy because it gives us that little bit of remembrance when you see those belly-to-belly suplexes. But, I mean, I felt like he did enough to come out with the victory, even in a split decision. One judge saw it that way, but the other two, unfortunately for Hector Lombard, didn't. So at this point, it is what it is. But I think it's It might have been Octagon jitters. It might have been the nervous excitement that he had. I heard that for the whole week entering this fight, he did not want to take off one piece of his UFC gear. Like, he was so ecstatic that he just maintained all his clothing, including we saw him come in with like six pieces of shirts, like six shirts.
Yeah.
Prior to him, he kept on just taking off shirts, and every single one of them was a UFC shirt. So it might have been something like that. I mean, we still haven't heard from the man himself, but I feel like he'll just go back to the drawing board, and maybe he'll get that dream match that he wants now against Mark Munoz.
Which I at the time, you know, he even said it, that's what he wanted next. And we'd love to get him here on the show to explain to us how that thing started. Apparently, Munoz was bashing him. But I'd love to see what the whole thing was, because I honestly don't understand how this thing got started. Want to also mention here that on the UFC on Fox 4 main card, heavyweight Ben Roswell was forced to withdraw. So, with a meeting with Travis Brown. So now, welterweights DeMarcus Johnson and Mike Swick have been promoted to UFC on Fox 4's main card. Also regarding UFC on Fox 4, it was also stated on one of the Fox websites that the winner if Mauricio Shogun Rua defeats Brandon Vera, of course, that has to be in a good performance. It just can't be like a decision or anything like that. But if he were to win, it will definitely put him into perhaps being a contender and being next in line against John Jones. Now, if, let's say, Rua loses, and then it would be up to either Lyoto Machida versus Ryan Bader. Maybe the winner of that could possibly get a title shot against John Jones. This was confirmed by Fox. So this UFC on Fox 4 is definitely going to be a big determination as far as who's John Jones' next opponent will be if he were to defeat Dan Henderson, of course.
That'd be an interesting thing. I mean, it was with when it comes to the Brandon Vera and Mauricio Shogun, who a lot of people saw what happened to Mauricio when he faced John Jones, and there's a lot of people who would be wondering if that's the same thing that would happen a second time. I mean, it was pretty one-sided. I mean, there was no moment that Shogun looked dominant or even close to even being dominant in that fight, so we don't know what a second match would be like. So, I don't know when it comes down to it if that's a great matchup, at least at this point, unless, you know, the victory that he would have over Brandon Vera would be that dominant.
Right. Nothing right about that. Other news coming in, it was confirmed today that Gilbert Melendez will be competing against Pat Healy for the lightweight Strikeforce belt. That's going to be taking place on September 29th in California. And also on that card, Daniel Cormier will be on that fight card. There's still no opponent named for Cormier, but he will be in action. And it's actually the last fight remaining in his Strikeforce contract. So soon after that, if he were to defeat his opponent, more than likely we're going to see him in the UFC and possibly put him into title contendership there. But Gilbert Melendez, Pat Healy, and as many people want to already in the UFC. Now, I don't know how long it's going to take. I know that Strikeforce has pretty much betting all in on Gilbert Melendez being as his golden child. But, Randall, if he defeats Healy, it's only fair that the fans get him over in the UFC.
It is. I mean, I know right now, contractually, he's obligated to remain in Strikeforce for the remainder of his contract just due to the Showtime clause in his contract. It's a clause that, you know, states as long as he has fights on his contract, he has to do it through Showtime. So, of course, I would prefer him to be in the UFC already and see him against better contenders, because, I mean, Pat Healy himself doesn't look like a great contender to me. I mean, he's been looking great. He looks fantastic. But I really don't see that as that great of a matchup. I don't see that as an exciting fight for me. An exciting fight for me would be him going already, crossing over to the UFC and facing somebody like Frankie Edgar or facing somebody like Ben Henderson, depending on who comes out with the title, obviously.
Right. And it was also stated that Eddie Alvarez perhaps has one more fight left in Bellator. More than likely, we're going to see him in the UFC. So that whole lightweight division is exciting. You know, there's a lot of guys that can give competition to Henderson, or heck, you never know what could happen between Edgar and Henderson coming up in the next pay-per-view. So it's going to be exciting to see what's going to happen in that end. Uriah Faber lost against Borrell. So I don't think Faber is going to get a title shot anytime soon, and possibly even ever. And although the UFC did have this guy as a golden child, Randall.
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty much the face of the lightweights for a long time. I mean, this guy dominated WEC for such a long time. You figured his transition to UFC would be a good one. He's had some ups and some downs. The Borrell fight was a great fight, even though it got booed. I think it was more so because, you know, people were just upset over the two fights they saw prior to that, which was the Chet Congo fight against Sean Jordan, which was just disappointing. The biggest snoozer of all time was that fight. And then obviously we had the Lombard versus Borch fight, which as well, you know, had a lot of the crowd just upset. And the Borrell fight was a technical fight. It was a very technical fight, but Borrell used his distance really well. He showed a lot of, to me personally, showed a lot of skills that he can use against the current champion that can actually be in his favor for him come out with the Undisputed Championship title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt about that. Now, we also have more news coming in here as Ronnie Jason Mariano Bezerra will meet Sam Cecilia at UFC 153 coming up. And also, on another note, Dana White said he had asked Quentin Rampage Jackson to honor the last fight on deal. Did you get to hear about this stuff that Rampage wanted out? And then Dana was like, look, we've pretty much done everything that you've asked for, so it's only fair to give me that one last fight.
Yeah,
so a whole lot of drama
right
there.
Now it's set up. It's supposed to be set up against Glover Teixeira, the man that supposedly Shogun was ducking, the one that he didn't want to fight against. But we got to see what happens. I mean, Rampage has these bipolar moments where one day he's saying he doesn't want to fight anymore and he wants to act and pretend he's Mr. T for the rest of his life, or he wants to fight. And, you know, I think he just gets sour grapes when he loses a fight, especially
right.
A fight that he could have controlled and he could have won if he fought like the Rampage we all know. But Rampage in these later years has become more robotic, more stale in his fight, kind of like what Tito looked like against Forrest Griffin. You know, real, real stale, not really so much movement. Nah, it's really robotic to me, the way I see them fight. And I think that's where the problem lies. And if he loses a fight, I guess he just has that reaction where he just, you know, kind of...
That bitter taste.
Exactly. That bitter taste of defeat, and he takes it out on the UFC and then starts claiming things that in the end he ends up apologizing for or ends up, you know, regretting at some point and eventually wants to re-sign a new deal.
That's right.
So we have to wait.
Well, let's go to a quick little break here, Randall. We'll be right back with more action on the Roman Show. We still got two more guests. They will be actually fighting this week. Phil DeRue and Rock George this weekend. They'll be both in action. We're going to get a little background information as far as how they got started in the sport, who they're going to fight, and get to know these guys as they're going to get their working on a nice little record there in the sport of MMA. We'll be right back with more on the Roman Show.
Visit
El Octágono for all the latest in MMA, news, fight results, interviews, live event coverage, podcasts, and video capsules. All this and much more in Spanish. Find all your MMA needs here inside El Octágono, the number one source dedicated 100% to MMA in Spanish. ElOctágono.com.
This is Bjorn from Bellator Fighting Championships. Keep following Rodolfo Roman.
All right, Randall, we're back here on the Roman Show as we await the phone calls of Phil DeRue and Mark Georges on the program. And I want to give a special hello to all those folks that are new to the program and have been following, those who have been loyal to us. As Randall, mind you, the program is coming to a 1 year. 1 year. It's going to be in August of next month. We're going to be celebrating 1 year. The Roman Show being on the air here on Blog Talk Radio. We want to give a special thank you to all you guys. Randall, I'd like to thank you too, sir, for joining me and giving me the company.
It's more than a pleasure to be a part of the show.
Yes, sir. And a lot of special thanks to all the guests we've had in such a short time. We've had the opportunity to interview huge names from champions, from ex-champions, to Hall of Famers, to future Hall of Famers, to porn stars. I mean, you can't get any better than that. mind you, everyone was the talk of the town after that interview of the Sarah J, the adult actress, who was on the program last Tuesday. And from what I understand, a lot of her Twitter followers, were very excited to hear her voice on the air. Some were upset that she didn't get a chance to speak to them, but to each his own, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. A lot of fun out there. Special thanks to Sarah J. And special thanks to all of the listeners, followers, and guests that we've had here. And I assure you we'll have more in the next year, as we'll be celebrating 1 year next month here on the Roman Show. And I'm still there contemplating what we're going to do for a party, but you know, Randall, we're in Miami, man. We got to party hard here. So we're contemplating what party we're going to have, whether, you know, we go Sobe, you know, we go South Beach, or we, you know, we keep it just in a bar. We don't know. We're still working on the whole process on that. But, Randall, we're going to have a big bash, man.
I can't wait. Just know that whatever antics I were to commit while intoxicated, I will be requesting apologies on the following show.
We do not promote any alcohol here. So, Randall, if he decides to get trashed, that is not my fault. Although I have had some people that in the wrestling show that have been on the air trashed. Yes, they have been alcohol intoxicated. And the end result wasn't nice, man. You know,
Just
one of those things. Special shout out to Jesse Neal, who was on the show last night. Great interview, Jesse Neal, mm-hmm. who served for this country. And he got a little choked up last night as he remembered a bombing. He was in the USS Cole, and in that bombing, he lost one of his best friends. And he cried here in the program. A very emotional, touchy interview there, Randall. I mean, even for myself, it was kind of tough, man.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta imagine that it's got to be hard for these guys because those become their family members because they live with them. They bunk together. They live together. They become family. They have to protect each other while they're in there. And when you lose the closest family member you have inside that bunker, you know, you got to imagine it's got to hit you hard. And Jesse Neal, I mean, he's always been one who comes out waving an American flag while his time in TNA, and he always represented his true self a lot. You know, this is a guy that you always see, you know, put his all out in everything he does, and definitely, you know, seeing him emotionally hit by this was definitely one of those human moments that you see and somebody you don't really feel like, you know, the crowd sometimes think, ah, these people, they're just wrestlers. You know, they don't
right.
see the human side of them, and, you know, you get to see the human side of him and express his emotions like that. It was a great moment in Roman show history, and it was definitely a great interview on your part.
Thank you, sir. And not only that, just the fact that a lot of these soldiers will be coming home, many of them have had some experience in the martial art field, and some of them have turned to MMA. So I know there's a lot of them out there, and it's just only a matter of time so one of these guys who served in Afghanistan or in Iraq will one day possibly be a champion in a UFC or Bellator or any other promotion. So it's just a matter of time. In the meantime,
yeah.
Randall, let's welcome none other than Phil the Roof. Phil, how are you, sir? Now, some issues here with the contact there. Phil, can you hear us? We're trying to get a hold here of Phil the Roof. Who will be fighting in Tampa, July 27th. He'll be fighting out there. He'll be working on getting his first victory in the sport of MMA. He trains at American Top Team, Port St. Lucie. He is the founder of Daru Diet. Daru Diet, I'm sure he'll explain to us exactly how that came about and what it is. And also, not only that, he trains out there with UFC veteran Dean Thomas, which we have had here on the program as well.
Hello,
Hello. Phil, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. What's up, man?
Hey, Phil, welcome to the show, man. You're on with Rodolfo Roman and Randall here on the Roman Show. Tell us about this upcoming fight you have on RFC, July 27th in Tampa. How are you getting ready for it, man?
Man, I've been getting ready for it for about 6 months now, pretty much. My last fight was for the XFC down in Tampa, same place. It was in December, so I've been off and on, you know what I'm saying? I just opened up my new gym, so I was, you know, off and on with training. I pretty much train every day, you know what I'm saying? So it was no real training camp. I don't even like the word training camp, really. But I mean, you know, just basically just been training and doing what I have to do to get ready for this next one Friday, so, you know.
Now, Phil, you're going to be searching for your first victory. Tell us about...
Mm-hmm.
You win July 27th. Tell us what you're going to feel once the referee raises your hand.
Well, first of all, I am going to win on July 27th. And secondly, I'm going to feel great. I mean, I'm going to feel elated. You know, it's going to be a long time coming, basically. All my training partners know that I have what it takes. You know what I'm saying? You know, I put in the work, and now it's time for me to feel the payoff. You know what I'm saying? So I'm getting excited, and I'm ready for, you know, my hand being raised.
And what keeps you motivated, to keep fighting, combat in the cage?
Yeah. I mean, well, honestly, I've been in competitive sports all my life. I played Division I football for Alabama State. You know, I've done Kempo karate as a kid. I've boxed amateur. Just being in this sport, especially mixed martial arts now, is getting so big. I think that, you know, it basically tests you physically, mentally, and as a person, you know what I'm saying? From anybody's standpoint, I know that anybody I step into the cage with, you know, you find something out about that person, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that's why at the end of the fight, you know what I'm saying, we shake hands and go our separate ways. There's a mutual respect there because we know what it takes to get into the ring just in general, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, as a combative sport, you know, you have to have a certain mindset, and if you know how to handle the situations properly, you'll be successful.
Gotcha. Randy, you have a question. Phil Daru fights on July 27th.
Yes, Phil. We see that you're a founder of the Daru Diet, and I wanted to ask, when it comes down to it, give us some details on that diet itself, and also how much does it help for you yourself when you're getting ready for a fight, you know, to have your own diet mm-hmm. plan and to know the way you're going to prepare to make weight and all that?
Well, what I did actually, the Daru Diet basically just came about when I actually was cutting one of my teammates' weight, which Rock George's. It actually happened when he was cutting weight for the CFA. He came to me on Sunday, and he had to weigh in on Friday. He was weighing about 184 and had to weigh in at 155 by Friday. And
wow.
Mind you, you know, Yeah, and so what I did was basically I put together simple things, you know what I'm saying? As far as his nutrition goes, I just gave him the stuff that he needed to eat, to drink, to get that weight down properly and be ready for the fight the next day. A lot of people do crash dieting. A lot of people do, you know, they do these outrageous diet things that really doesn't do much in the long run. You know, I basically, it's not really a diet, basically, and that's my catchphrase. It's not just a diet. It's a lifestyle, you know, and what it does, it just gets you prepared to live a healthier lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? So you'll be in, you know, healthy, you know, fruits and vegetables, lean proteins, you know what I'm saying? We keep it light on the carbohydrates unless you're doing some sort of high-intensity training, such as a mixed martial artist, where we'll be having, you know, complex carbs, such as whole grains, though. So it'd be more brown rice, sweet potatoes, oatmeal, things of that nature that's high in fiber, and also it has a lot more nutrient dense. And it's not white grain, so you wouldn't have any added sugar in there either, you know, because you don't want to spike the insulin level too high and become, you know, insulin dependent. So we want to basically just keep the carbs a little low, except if you're going to do some high-intensity training, and always keep the fiber in you from the vegetables, the green leafy vegetables, and the high protein for your muscles and aminos.
Nice. Well, you just got educated on their nutrition there, Rand. I don't know about you. I'm going to have to follow the tips.
Yeah.
You know, I got you, man. I got you.
Yeah, my stomach is in the necessity, so, yeah, I think I'm going to follow the tips as well.
Shoot, from 180 to 150, wow, that's something, man.
Yeah.
That's just amazing.
Yeah.
And so you're training over there in American Top Team, Forte and Lucy, former UFC fighter Dean Thomas is out there. So tell me, training with Dean Thomas, it's been some time since he last fought. Well, he fought about, I think, about last month, I think it was. But it had been some time since he was in action. But tell me about training with this guy, Dean Thomas.
Man, actually, I just left Dean. We were just talking about stuff, and
wow.
I'm gonna tell you this: every time we train, it's kind of like you're training with your big brother, but he's famous. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, oh man, I'm training with Dean Thomas, but in a way, he always gets us better. You know what I'm saying? And I always love going in there and duking it out with him and training with him and just picking his brain just about everything, not just about fighting. You know, just about business, anything possible that I can, because I know he's been around. You know what I'm saying? And it's a big opportunity that I can't miss up. And you know, we're talking about, you know, business in general when I left, and you know, just about fighting and as a team. We always want to become a team in ATTPSL. We want to be the biggest team around, you know what I'm saying, not just in Florida, but around the whole nation. And you know, Dean backs us 100%, and he's our forward, like he's our coach, you know. So we stick by him, and we actually, you know, we listen to him 100%, because if not, you know, we're lost in the game, because he's been there, you know what I'm saying.
Gosh, absolutely. And Phil, tell us a little about your opponent on July 27th.
Ivan Duval, I think he was like 4-2 or something like that. I don't know too much about him. I know he's a tough guy. It's going to be a good fight, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to come out there ready to fight. I'm pretty sure he's going to come out there ready to fight. You know, he's from Tampa, so, you know, we'll see what's going on with that. You know, I'm a Broward boy, so I'm going to come with, you know, Lauderdale 954 all day and, you know, represent ACT, PSL, and Dean Thomas and just, you know, do what I do, you know what I'm saying? So.
Wonderful. Well, Foo, want to wish you good luck. July 27th, RFT. If you're out there in Tampa, go check out Phil. He'll be in action. He'll be searching for that victory. So I'm sure he's going to be very hungry. Where can folks follow up with you on Twitter or on Facebook to catch up with your next fight, your training, or your Daru diet?
Yeah, you can check me out on Facebook. You can either go on Daru Fitness Performance or Daru Diet, or just, you know, Facebook me as Phil Bam Bam Daru. And check out my my website, DaruFitnessPerformance.com.
There you go. So, well, thank you so very much, and good luck this July 27th.
All right. Thank you.
All right, man. Good night, my man.
All right.
Thank you. All right, Ron, I'm going to take his tip, man. You know, I weigh about 180, and I want to get to 175. I want to see if I do a lean on that Daru diet.
Hey, you mentioning that just made me feel fatter.
Hey, look, I just probably gained another pound or two after I drank this Dunkin' Donut Colada thing. You know, the things are high in sugar and all that stuff, but hey, at least it keeps you up, you know?
Oh, yeah. It definitely works for that.
Yeah, most of the time on the show, I'm falling asleep with all that Sanka and stuff I've been drinking. But now that I add this Colada thing, I'm like, ooh, wide up. I can't even close, for God's sake. It's just wide open, man. All right, Rock Georges will be joining up next here on the Roman Show as we talk his coming up fight. His record is 1-1, and he's looking to improve to 2-1. He also trained out of ATT Fort St. Lucie under Dean Thomas. He'll be fighting in Alabama, so he'll be on the program in just a few minutes to talk to us about his upcoming fight. And a lot of these guys, Randall, you got to understand, and it's just, it goes with anything in life. You know, when you fall 2-3 times, it's hard on you mentally, heck, even physically. But to overcome that and get a victory, it takes a lot. It really does take a lot, Randall.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those things, especially when you think about fighters that have been undefeated in the first place, too. I mean, you think about people like, let's say, going back down here, we had Jordan Parsons fight against Lazar. And, I mean, the guy lost his first fight, and we saw the reaction that he had. You know, we don't know how much that's going to affect him mentally for his next fight. You know, Yoslandi Izquierdo down here as well. You know, he was another fighter who was undefeated, and he's had two back-to-back losses. And we don't know the effect that's had mentally on a fighter. You know, if it crushes the sense of feeling that you are really a good fighter, or if it, what does that cost you emotionally? Because I mean, we both know that Jordan got that title deservingly. He won his title deservingly. He is a great fighter. He just had a bad night against Lazar, who connected with a great punch. Same thing with Yoslandi. A guy's a great fighter. We've seen him perform incredible matches down here locally in Miami, stepped up to the big stage and has had, you know, two back-to-back losses. First one, you know, he just got caught. You know, you can get submitted any day. You know, he just got caught. Second one was, you know, just a guy who laid and prayed the whole fight. So, I mean, you're going to have those moments, but you don't know what kind of effect that has on a fighter mentally, and that's always the question.
Yeah, they're very difficult, but you know, there are some that overcome it. But it definitely takes a lot because it seems like, gosh, you know, I can't win. So you got to find that spark, get you back in that gym and train hard. All right, Randall, we're going to welcome you now. Rock Georges, who will be fighting in Alabama July 28th. How are you, Rock?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
All right, man. Pretty good. We can't complain. Rock, tell us about it. You're looking to improve to 2-1. You're going to be fighting in Alabama. Tell us about this upcoming fight. How are you preparing?
Well, I mean, if you don't mind, I kind of want to go back into a little explanation of why this is happening now.
Sure.
Well, 2 weeks ago, I was supposed to fight in Louisiana, and I found out the day of the weigh-in that the fight was canceled. Not even the fight, the whole card. I was told as we were driving up there that the bout was going to be held outside, and I guess the weather at the time wasn't good, so they canceled the whole card, so... You know, I was told pretty much there and then that I was going to fight. So then, you know, I kind of was down on the slump a little. And then I got a phone call from my manager from Relentless Sports Management, Jason Ellis, and he told me that I had a chance to fight again in 2 weeks, which would be this weekend in Alabama against Brad Charlin at 165.
Wow. But you're definitely prepared as far as your opponent.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, on Brad, I don't really know that much. I mean, there's no video on the guy, but honestly, I don't care. You know, I train my ass off too much to even worry about what the other guy on the other end of on the cage is going to do. You know, I haven't fought in a year. The last time I fought was in July of last year in the CFA. You know, I lost. That was my first loss, and I really want to bounce back. I mean, I had fights lined up. They got canceled, or like this one, the whole bout was canceled, and you know, right now I don't have time to worry about what Brad's going to bring to the cage. I think Brad needs to worry about what I'm going to bring to him.
How do you prepare for that? Because here you are, they tell you, you're going to fight this guy, you're training your butt off, and all of a sudden they tell you no. And then they find you another guy, and that guy drops out. So how does that prepare for you mentally and on your game plan? It's not like,
you have sufficient time to come out and put a whole X and O together.
Well, you know, I don't want to take anything away from Brad. You know, we're not in the big leagues yet. You know, like I'm not in the UFC or Strikeforce or Bellator. So you know, you kind of just got to take what you're given. You know, yeah, the guys were fighting Louisiana. We had an idea of what type of style he was, and we prepared to fight that style. And so, you know, like you said, I mean, it switched up on me, and now I'm fighting a completely different guy who probably doesn't fight anything like this guy I was going to fight previously. And I think what happens now, you know, in these early stages of our careers, we have to, you know, make our styles work for us. You know, like, I can't go out there and always have a brawl. I can't go out there and have this guy and me and this guy, you know, bang. You know, if I keep doing that, by the time I make it to the big shows, yeah, I might be getting fighting tonight, but, I mean, is that what I'm fighting for? I'm fighting to become a champion. I got to fight smart to become a champion. So for me, it's like, you know, when I fight this guy, Brad, I got, you know, implicate my game plan. I got to go in there and, you know, thank God I leave the fight, you know, unscathed and, you know, not hurt or anything so I can fight again, you know, soon.
Gotcha. And I asked Phil, training over there at American Top Team, Fort St. Lucie, tell me about having Dean Thomas there training you, giving you tips to prepare you for your upcoming fight.
Man, it's a blessing, you know. Me, Phil, Chad Livingston, Raymond Camp, Carlos Lopez, you know, if I miss anybody else, we have a great camp, you know. And Dean, he helps us, I mean, tremendously with our skills, you know. If he sees that we're good at one area, he's not going to work on just that area. He's going to make us work on areas that we have a hard time at. Like, if I have a hard time boxing, you know, but I have great jits, he's going to make me work on my boxing. You know, we're not those schools that we just make you work on what you're good at already. Because right now in the game of mixed martial arts, you know, you can't rely on just that. You know, it's mixed martial arts. You got to use everything. And Dean, he helps us, you know, with our skills. He helps us with our mental training. And I can't say that a lot of gyms do that with their fighters or their jiu-jitsu practitioners is help them with their mental training. I think that's probably one thing that a lot of schools lack. And, you know, I'm telling you, when it comes to fighting, you know, the physical part I think is only 10%. 90% of it's usually mental. And Dean's been a great asset to that. I mean, I can't thank the guy enough. You know, he's been with me since 2007, and he's always had my back. He's given me opportunities to go train in Coconut Creek with, you know, the big league guys, you know. So, you know, to have Dean as my mentor and my coach, you know, I can't ask for anything greater.
And not only that, he also has a great sense of humor. I know he has a whole bunch of characters. He's very creative. That must be great when you're in training just to get a little, to bring a little laughter, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's awesome, you know, because sometimes, you know, I might go in there and be like, you know, Dean, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry that I sucked it up tonight. And he's like, yeah, you did suck it up. And he'll do that. He'll, you know, he'll take a little edge off of, you know, how you feel. And, you know, I've had times like that where, like I just said, you know, I probably went in there and I thought I had a bad night. And he'll crack on me for having that bad night. And, you know, he'll put in that, like you said, the sense of humor. So it's great, man, you know. I mean, like I said, I couldn't ask for a better mentor, training partner, coach, you know, friend, you know, Dean Thomas. He's helped us all out. You know, you talk to Phil, you talk to any of the guys in there, and they'll all, you know, tell you how great of a guy Dean is for us.
Great. So what can we expect to you this weekend over there in Alabama for your box?
Man, of course you're going to be familiar with Anderson Silva. You're familiar with John Jones. You're familiar with Roy Jones Jr., Muhammad Ali. I have a really good stand-up game, and I don't want to just be that guy that just has a stand-up. You know, if we go to the ground, I'll finish him on the ground. But I mean, you expect fireworks. You know, I'm probably gonna cut this kid pretty bad with my elbows or my knees or something. You know, I go out there and I put on a show for the audience, and I also go out there and I try and win. You know, losing is not a factor. You know, I don't even understand that word losing in my vocabulary, you know. So just expect fireworks, and hopefully, you know, you guys can see and I can get some fans from it. But, yeah, expect fireworks, man. I can't tell you too much about what Brad's going to bring, but I can tell you what I'm going to bring to the cage, and it's going to be fireworks.
Awesome. Well, Rock, where can folks follow you? Do you have a Twitter account or a Facebook account to folks keep up with you with all your upcoming events and fights?
Oh, yes, yes. Real quick, first I want to thank my Relentless Sports Management for, you know, for all their help. Also, I want to thank my sponsors, Well-Rounded, One Coconut Water, Sweet Sweat, Sumpertine Kimonos. And, yeah, if you want to follow me, you're going to want to follow me because, you know, I'm that guy to follow. I want you guys to all be like, yeah, awesome. I followed Rock when he started out, and now he's in the big leagues, and it's awesome to see him, you know, become that flower, you know. So follow me at Rock the Heat on Twitter, and like my fan page, Rock the Heat, on Facebook. And also, if you want to just be a friend of mine, you know, go on my Facebook page, Rock Georgia. So.
Awesome. Well, Rock, thank you very much, man, and good luck for you against your opponent.
Thank you.
And next time you're here, I'm sure you'll be a winner.
Oh, of course. Yeah, man.
All righty. Have a good night, my man. Anytime, you're always welcome here on the show.
All right, cool. You have a good one, too.
You too, my man. Thanks.
Thanks.
All righty. All right, Randall, you still there? Okay, Randall's in a little break right now. We're going to go to a quick little break, and we'll be back here in the Roman Show with some action. Thank you very much there to Jason Ellis for helping us out, contact these guys, and good luck to both these guys coming up this weekend. And guys, don't forget, InvictaFC.com. InvictaFC will have their show this weekend, July 28th. Great fight in there, all women's MMA. So make sure you tune in and watch it live, no matter where you are, or if you are in Kansas, head on over to InvictaFC.com to get your tickets, and head on over to Memorial Hall on July 28th to watch the show live. Let's go to a quick break, and we'll be right back with more action, guys. Thanks for tuning in, and follow the action on Twitter, hashtag Roman Show. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere.
AllOutMMAGear.com is your best source for MMA gear and apparel. Use code ROMANSHOW and receive 15% off your next purchase. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at AllOutMMAGear and on Facebook.com/AllOutMMA for the latest on merchandise and special offers. AllOutMMAGear.com, from Miami to the world.
All right, and we're back here with more action on the Roman Show at RomanDH on Twitter. Follow the action. And we have a caller here in the line. Caller, you're on the air on the Roman Show.
Hey, Roman, how you doing tonight?
All right, pretty good. Yourself?
It's not too bad, sir. It's Jason Ellis. I just want to thank you guys for bringing Phil DeRue and Rock Judges on to talk about their upcoming fight. You know, these kids are got some bright futures. You know, not too many people know about them. They're up in commerce, but they're definitely gentlemen you want to watch in the near future as they rise through the ranks in their respective weight classes.
Our pleasure, Jason. You know, it's you know, being lucky enough to cover MMA, I've seen guys like Alex Caceres, Jonathan Brookins, start from scratch, man, and look where they are now, you know. So to have these guys out here, you never know where these kids are going to land. And thank you so very much for the support, Jason.
No, I definitely support the Roman Show. And, you know, we are relentless, definitely support the support. I appreciate the support that the Roman Show gives us, you know, and these opportunities to, you know, give these interviews and so to speak, and that kind of allow people and fans at Mixed Martial Arts in Florida to be able to actually know who these gentlemen are, you know?
Absolutely. Jason, thanks so very much, man, and anytime, just let me know, my man.
All right, thank you. You guys have a good night.
Jason, thanks. All right, Rand, are you still there now?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, you're back. Let's go to a quick little break here, and we'll be right back with more action and the show. Hang on tight.
What's up? This your boy, Kimo Slice. And if I got one thing to say about these amateur fights, not only did I have a good time tonight, but I want everybody to know you got to keep watching with Dolph Roman. If you keep your eyes upon that man, you'll be all right. You'll know what's going on. So stay hip to Dolph Roman. This your boy, Kimo Slice, 305, and we out.
Well, we're not out yet, but we're about to be. Randall, final thoughts in the program, sir.
Yeah.
My boy Kimbo, man. That's my boy.
I know. It just, sometimes, I mean, have you seen the boxing videos? Have you seen the knockouts?
I don't know, man, but that guy could really knock someone, you know. I really think that Kimbo should have just scratched MMA, and he should have gone straight to boxing.
I think I'm glad he gave it a shot, and I'm glad Dana White gave him an opportunity. You know, the guy wanted to fulfill something. He fulfilled it. It was a goal. Maybe it was on his bucket list, you know. So it was great that he actually gave it a shot, tried it out, saw that it wasn't fit for him. But it probably would have fit more for him to go straight into boxing instead of the MMA. But obviously he had a goal, and he accomplished it.
Now you gotta give credit where credit is due. When Kimbo Slice, despite whatever he did, sure he's not the best fighter, blah blah blah. So you gotta give credit to the man. When he was on Elite XC and the show aired on TBS at the time, it was the most watched MMA show ever on national TV.
Yeah.
It was the first time, and the ratings were phenomenal. They were crazy. I mean, for God's sake, the guy ended up being in a Super Bowl commercial. So the guy did something for the sport.
Yeah, no, he did lot. I mean, he did grab a lot of attention. And, you know, and especially down here in Miami, you would say, you would tell people, do you follow UFC or MMA and things like that? And people would be like, what? And you say Kimbo Slice. They'd be like, oh, you mean the guy that fights in the cage? You know, like, it became that. And, you know, I mean, even though for me that's unfortunate because I would rather people just recognize what MMA is. But, you know, it did help grab a new audience. You got a lot of young kids that basically were out on the street, kids that do, you know, bad stuff, and now they see somebody who changed their life around from backyard fighting and getting into a professional sport and doing something to elevate himself a little bit more, and a lot of those kids now train. I mean, you see how many of these kids changed their lives around and now are fighters. I mean, you talk about somebody like Level, it was a guy who was heavily involved in things that are bad in his prior life, and now he's a more disciplined guy. He follows routines with martial arts. He's a very humble guy. Gives back to the community. He does a lot for kids. He does a lot of things that are good, you know. So that's the positive you get out of getting people like Kimbo Slice or people like that involved in the sport.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So, and one thing they have to consider, and I'm sure that his name is going to be brought up, Kimbo. You can't compare him to, like, to Brock Lesnar. I mean, Brock Lesnar at least won a championship. But, you know, both these guys brought a different crowd. You know, they brought a new crowd, and they allowed some of them hooked, you know, stayed hooked on to MMA, and some of them didn't. But whether for these guys, for God's sake, and when Kimbo Slice had a show down here in Coral Gables in the Bank United Center, that place was sold out.
Yeah.
Sold out. And when was the last time you saw that here in Florida? Quite some time.
Been a while.
It's been a while. So you got to give credit where credit is due.
Definitely.
Kimbo Slice, definitely. Putting butts in the seat. You know, it is what it is. Someone out here is on MMA discussion. They're actually on Facebook, and these guys are always pretty much very accurate. It says, how much do you think Frank Mir will get paid for taking one for the team? So these guys are saying that Frank Mir, this is not positive, not 100%, but they're saying that there's a possibility that Frank Mir could go to Strikeforce just for one fight against Cormier. You're a pretty nice one, to be honest.
I mean, I think that's a good matchup. That's a great matchup, actually. I really wanted to see Mir versus Velasquez more than I wanted to see, Mir versus Dos Santos or anything, because I just thought that would be a better matchup. But a Cormier matchup for Mir would be great, too. I mean, the only question there is, I mean, Frank Mir is such a UFC veteran. How much of a slap in the face is it to downgrade him down to Strikeforce? And now
it's only for one fight, though.
No, I get that. It's not like to take a shot at Strikeforce, but, you know, you take a look at what BJ Penn said. You know, he felt offended that he would even be offered a fight in Strikeforce,
mm-hmm.
even if it was against Gilbert Melendez for the belt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's that. Final thought, Randall?
Final thought, Hector Lombard giving a thumbs down to Dana White's idea of him dropping weight. I'm reading an article here where he actually tweeted out that what people saw wasn't the real Hector, and his point was, I feel strong at 185. Just because I had a bad fight does not mean that I'm going to drop to 170, which is what
right.
I'm saying. You know, which, I mean, the guy dominated for so many years at that weight class. Why change it after one bad fight? But, you know, I can't wait to see what he does when he comes back. I hopefully the jitters will be gone and maybe he'll be the Hector that we all know and love the next time we see him out, so he can shut the critics up, because a lot of these critics are now downing him like you were stating before. So interesting, but
yep.
I'm excited for Fox, the UFC on Fox with Vera versus Shogun, see what happens there. They got a great fight card coming up in Staples, and waiting to see what happens there. And there's just a lot of stuff coming up, a lot of stuff. Invicta is going to be great, too. That's going to be a great card.
Oh, yeah. It's really a lot of fun. Here in the Roman Show, we got a lot of stuff. Nisha Tate, we got Vanya Narosha. Both these guys will be here on the program coming up soon. Over on the wrestling show, Joe Maximo. Tom Pritchard, former Heavenly Bodies, original member of the Heavenly Bodies, will be on the program as well. And some other goodies that we got lined up for you. So make sure that you tune into the Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday, starting at 9:30. I think time is right, Randall. I think a lot of people like the time.
No, I like the time as well. But I want to ask you a question. What do you think about Mickey Rourke beating Usain Bolt in a drunk race?
I did not see that. What happened?
Yeah, actor Mickey Rourke says he beat Usain Bolt in a boozy late-night sprint down a London street.
Nice.
I think that's got to be a challenge we got to do, even though you don't promote alcohol. But I think that'd be an interesting challenge. Just get completely trashed and then run down the street.
And run. Let's see who can
last,
though. I mean, you know, it could get kind of annoying when you're drinking and running.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
that'd be pretty fun.
That'd be pretty fun. I'll take that over, you know, spinning around on a bat and then running. I'll take that. I think it'd be pretty fun. Hey, so just wait a minute before we go. September 29th, check this out. It's going to be like MMA orgasm, and I'm not lying about this. September 29th is going to be possibly one of the best days of the year. Why? Simple. In the afternoon, you're going to get UFC on Fuel 5. And then at night, you're going to get Strikeforce on Showtime on that same night. Isn't that pretty cool?
Oh, wow.
It's pretty badass.
Huh? Yeah, it's going to be good.
That's September 29th, so mark it on your calendar. If you have any planned dates, make sure you scratch it out, because if you are an MMA fan, you're going to be staying home. Well, Randall, that being said, man, we'll make sure, again, tune in next Tuesday, Wednesday, share this stuff. Follow us on Twitter at RomanDH, Randall, at Mr. Randall V. And what do you guys got brewing over there in El Octagono for the gente Latina?
Well, this weekend, I believe we have Mike Rio coming in, and I'm challenging him to Rock'em Sock'em Robots, and it's going to be an interesting thing. And got a couple of special guests coming up real soon. I mean, it's going to be an interesting show. We're lining up a lot of guests, a lot of interviews. You can see us live on UniverseMiami.com, cameras and all, so you can see my ugly self, annoying-looking Camilo, and then obviously the beautiful and very talented Andrea Calle. You know, she has a camera always on her, so people get satisfied with that one.
Yeah, they always get satisfied with the girl out there. Sex out, just saying. But, yeah, Andrea, very nice lady. Check her out there in El Octagono. She has some great interviews out there on eloctagono.com. What's the YouTube? It's youtube.com/eloctagono, correct?
Yeah, if you just look up El Octagono, it will come up.
Yeah, you can't miss it there. A whole bunch of interviews, and I'm sure most of you guys will be covering the next few UFC shows. I know Camilo is out there, and Andrea doing this stuff. They always keep you down here, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I'm the man behind the computer from the distance, so that remains my position, at least for now. I'm trying to change positions with Camilo so I can be the one to fly out now.
Yes, I see that. I mean, but I must say, that whole camera on that website is pretty fun. People get to see you. And it's a lot of fun, man. It's pretty cool, the whole interaction, to make sure all those folks out there in somewhere in Latin America can apply escuchando visiteloctagono.com. All right, that pretty much does it for us. Again, next Tuesday and Wednesday, 9:30 p.m. Make sure you're tuning in. If not, listen to the archive, man. Either way, you're going to get informed. Good night, guys.